What was the intent going into the studio for this record?
It was to record a rock and roll record, pretty plain and simple, and just kind of get on tape what our energy is live, you know. And I think at one point we were thinking, you know, do we want to shorten this up and make it like a really concise, you know, thing? But I think we kind of chose the other route, just to get really expansive with it. You know, it's our first album. I think the most important thing to me, at least, was that it's scrappy as hell and rocking as hell, and it leaves room for, you know, what's to come next.
Do you think it captured the live?
I think so. I mean, I think it's different. It's definitely different, and definitely, I think maybe just the process of recording, it's, it always comes out different than you think it's going to, but it captured an energy and a spontaneity that, you know, I think we want.
Do you think the EP had done the same thing?
I don't think as much. I mean, I think the EP was kind of cool, because I feel like the EP had its own sound, and it sounds very different from the album. But I think really with the album, you know, we didn't have a lot of time, we didn't have a lot of money, so we sort of said, well, you know, the most important thing is for it to have the spirit and the heart and all that stuff. So it was a matter of doing it quickly and diligently. And we sort of had really, you know, no room for error in terms of that. So we had to kind of use every take like it was our last, you know.
This year you've done two pretty amazing tours with Division Day and Art Brut. How did they come about, and how have they differed, really?
Well, Division Day are our buddies' band, and those have just been so much fun, just, you know, sort of hanging out with your friends, going on the road. Their music's a lot different than ours, but, you know, people, I don't think people really want to see the same band three times in a row a night, so it's kind of, you know, fun that way. The Art Brut thing was sort of, we got asked sort of last minute to hop on the tour, and of course we said, if we, you know, of course. And that was sort of, you know, playing to packed audiences every night, which is, you know, which is always great.
Do you think there's some sort of satirical nature of Art Brut came across and or like infiltrated what y'all were doing?
But I think some people weren't sure what to expect, because you have this British band that's, you know, very aware of being British and very, you know, now I wouldn't say their music's a joke, but they have fun with the idea of it, whereas our music's sort of, you know, going for like
serious
the sincerity kind of thing. So I don't know. I think some people probably didn't know what to make of us.
They're like seriously ironic. We're just serious.
Seriously awesome.
What is seriously awesome? There was a great plan with them. They're fucking badass.
Yeah, they're really funny guys.
They're cool.
Were there any like reaction to the EP that you wanted to fix going into the LP? And is there going now that you've had a record? Is there something that it's on No Midnight that you're like, we need to conquer this?
It's all a bunch of shit on No Midnight, man. It all sucks. Don't buy it. No, I don't know, Dave, you want to shoot for this?
Like, anything that you were trying to accomplish that you think, we just didn't get it, we're so close.
With the EP and then accomplished it with the LP, you're saying?
And then the same thing, that you're looking forward.
Oh.
Like always, yeah.
I think when we did the EP, that was the first time any of us basically had been in a studio. And that came in with almost no preconceived notion of anything. That was like, let's just play these songs. We were banned for, you know, 3 months maybe.
And it was kind of like how we were playing on that day.
Right. Yeah. And then the album, like Peter said, the goal was, let's get this live energy putting down on tape. And we did. And we wanted to use analog tape as much as we could. And we did that. And I think, you know, now we're starting to think about the next record and new songs. And we're looking for, you know, to keep up the energy intensity, but definitely just broaden this range of sound. Now that we know how to record better and know, I think we're all much better musicians, much more experienced musicians, and not knocking anything we did before, but I just really think that we're looking to making a more expansive sound, more mature sound maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird with No Midnight, because I think part of the spontaneity, you know, came with not having a lot of time, and I wouldn't trade that for the world, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it sort of it becomes what it is just inevitably, you know, like that's where we were, that's what we were doing. And, you know, you can scrutinize, I wish we could have, you know, done that guitar part again, or I could have sung that a couple more times or whatever. But that, you know, that in a way, at least for this record, in my mind, would have sort of made it kind of stale. But I think with the next record, like Dave says, I think we're really looking forward to, you know, using our new knowledge about how a studio works, because it's completely different than playing shows. You know, it's just a completely different animal, and you have to learn that. And you have to, you know, the only way to become a great live band is to play a lot of shows. The only way to, you know, become a great recording band is to get in the studio and work at it. So.
And at the same time, to also have played a lot of shows, you can, that it's only going to help you more.
That I'm excited about too, for new, just the new albums. I feel like not that it was ever a struggle to play the parts, but now it's just like the guitar is like another part of, you know, yeah, it sounds so cheesy, I guess, in their part of your body, but I mean, you play
one with the guitar.
One with the guitar, man. But, you know, you play like, you know, 35 shows in 40 days. Then you go back to songwriting, and it's sort of just what you can create and what you imagine, as opposed to being limited in any way about what you can do. And that's the other thing about touring.
It's like you're touring, you're playing the same songs pretty much night in and night out, and it's super fun, but then when you have time off, you're just so excited about writing. At least we've been. I think a lot of bands, maybe, you know, they don't have the chance to really work on an album while they're touring, and so when you get home, it's just like complete release. It's just like, yeah, wow, it's like almost like starting over, you know, it's being a new band, you know. So we're having a lot of fun with these different work bands too.
And touring with the new songs is
we play them in sound check sometimes.
Really?
We have time in the motel rooms and stuff like that.
So you actually, I mean, I guess that's always something that I'm curious about with young bands, is how do you decide, well, we're not good at riding on the road. Some people are just really good at riding on the road, and some people say, well, that's just, we can't do that, we don't have the focus.
Well, when we were home, I think the idea, at least for me, was, you know, just get some melodies down that you really feel good about and really like. And that's sort of what I was working on for the past, you know, we had about a month and a half off, so it was all like, for me, my room was melody. And now while I'm on the road, you know, I can, you know, get out my notebook and start writing lyrics to that, which is a different process than I'm used to, because a lot of times I write lyrics and music at the same time, and it sort of evolves together. But I'm sort of excited about kind of mixing the process up. Plus, you know, when you're on the road, it's kind of, you know, you're traveling and you get really nostalgic, and, you know, you feel like you're on this journey and stuff like that. So it's always like a good, you know, time for writing for me, I think.
Yeah. I talked with Chris about this earlier, and it's kind of, this is a new era of, with the immediate international ability. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you think how blogs and the web have altered your local scene? Like, think about 5 years ago.
Right. Well, I think the big thing is that nobody really gets to have a first record that nobody hears. You know, I think, you know, 5-10 years ago, you have a first record, and it's your indie record. Yeah, and you put it out, and you get in the studio, and sure, you lost money on it or whatever, but, you know, it's kind of this underground thing, and now you sort of don't get to do that anymore. You know, as a band, you know, you have to, you know, if you want to survive as a band, you know, you have to play shows, you have to get out there, and you can, so much easier now, but it sort of creates this situation where you're sort of growing up in the spotlight.
Yeah.
And you sort of have to be ready for it. You kind of have to be prepared for it and say, all right, you know, everything I do is going to be scrutinized. I don't have that window of like 2 years.
The debut record can't be like secretive. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, you know, it's an interesting thing. I mean, I think, you know, one thing we were thinking about, like I said, you know, when we were recording, you know, Midnight, was to, you know, not be kind of held back by anything like that. Like, you know, we were aware that, you know, we'd gotten some, you know, some buzz going with the EP, but we were kind of trying to, you know, just kind of screen that out and just say, you know, don't worry if we're not giving people, you know, exactly what they want. It's just, you know, let's make a first record, because you only really get one first record.
Yeah.
And I was thinking in my mind a lot, you know, like Beck's record, like Mellow Gold, it's like his first, you know, big record. I mean, he had some other recordings or whatever, but that album's sort of all over the place, and it's like got some really cool lo-fi things, and it's one of my favorite records because of that, you know. So I think that was sort of the goal off the bat, is to not, you know, not worry about making our third record as our first record. You know, we'll get to, you know, the second or third one when it comes.
I don't remember who I spoke to before. I mean, not in, just in other interviews, about how it's so easy to write your first record. Is it like all these songs have been in you, and then like now that you've, those, like, your first record's the easiest one to write. That's what they say. That's what I've
told. I totally disagree with that.
Really?
Whereas
you now have to think about, does this fit Birdmaster? Whereas before you say, this is all just going to be...
Right. There's no decision-making process in terms of, I see what you're saying, like, you know, how do we, what direction do we want to go? And you're sort of, by default, kind of doing what you're doing. I sort of understand.
Yeah, I definitely see that. But I would disagree in the sense, I mean, I guess every band's different.
Yeah.
But for our band, I mean, thank God songwriting has always been a fun, organic process that's went, you know, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've still, you know, had, how much time is the band before we've gotten in the studio for the first album? Like a year and a half together, you know, and you know, now we're going to have less time together before we put up the next album, but I feel that it's more time because it's more focused time. I feel like now it's like we know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah, we sort of know what we want.
We know what we want, and we know exactly what we want. Like tonally, song structure to a degree, and so it's. I don't know. I feel like the second album is a lot easier.
Well, it's so interesting. You have all these songs, and then if you don't get them out on tape on some level, whether it's just a demo or anything, it starts to, like, at least for me, like, kind of clutter my head a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's sort of hard to focus when you have all these balls in motion. So I feel like, you know, the EP and the first album, it was sort of like a nice relief, like, you know, getting that out of my head.
Yeah.
You know, because we had some of those songs, you know, maybe not arranged that way, but we had some of those songs for, you know, a while. And some of the things that ended up in the album were some of the first songs we wrote.
Yeah.
You know, some people might not think that was a good idea to promote. Right. But you know what I'm saying?
I guess the concept is when you're young, you can put things on the back burner, and then eventually you run out of back burners.
Right.
And you have to think about, well, is this song better than songs that I wrote when I was back then?
Right.
And when you first start, everything you have is eligible.
Yeah, it's
a fun part.
And I think it's also nice to know on when you take the time of the second album is to be able to think about when you're looking for a certain goal to agree. It's nice to have a goal to work towards, I guess, to a small degree. And so not that we have any set exact plan for album two, but just using all having the same idea about it, I think. It's like you start writing in that direction. Like you want to be bigger, write big, you want to write more sparse, write more sparse songs.
It's interesting because I think when we started practicing for the, you know, a lot of the new stuff, you know, it was like, okay, how do we want to arrange this? And I think we all had this preconceived notion that it was going to come out one way, but then all of a sudden we were just all on another page, we're all together, and it's very different than I think all of us in the head kind of imagined it. We're sort of really, really getting into the idea of how it's going to sound.
Yeah. And I guess my last question is, are there anything that you find yourself, responsibilities that you have as a band that you give to blogs? Like, thinking about, like, 5 years ago, shows that people now are sponsor, blogs will sponsor, or websites will sponsor, you would have had to struggle and not had... I mean, not that tonight's going to sell out or anything, but...
it is going to sell out.
Yeah, right here, man.
But do you think there's any sort of responsibilities that you find yourself saying, we should still be doing that, we shouldn't expect a website to give us that? Like, I kind of think that it seems like bands are like, because of that ability of doing the international thing, you can say, well, we'll just put out a song, and if it's a good single, we can give it to blogs, and they'll like it, and we'll sell records. And it doesn't even make you have to think about records or live performances. So I think that's kind of the downfall of blogs, is since it is so single-driven.
Right, because they're posting a song.
I
mean, I think though, like, I understand exactly what you're saying. I think for us, though, I mean, the blogs have been really good to us, and it's a way of getting the music out there that just you couldn't have before, and it's a way to get people out to shows and at least say, here, you know, here's a taste of this band, which, you know, before you'd read a lot about a band, and, you know, sometimes, you know, you'd read about a band, you know, in Rolling Stone or something like that, and then you get the record, or you hear the record, and you'd be like, oh, wow, there's sort of this disconnect between what you're reading and what you're hearing. And with a blog, that connection is made so instantaneously that you can just click on it or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think for us, I mean, I think we're the kind of band that, you know, we're thinking about, like, albums, you know. We want to make really, really great albums. That's our goal.
Yeah.
Who knows, you know, you can't judge, you know, how people are going to react to it. I think for us, the concept of the album is very much intact.
I guess my worry is that, whereas with you guys, and then so many, I mean, this is kind of a hypothetical, so many, right now, blog success is an afterthought. Is there any fear that it could be, like, the forethought of, like, how can we harness, and how will we push our duties as a band on the blogs?
Oh, yeah. I think, unfortunately, that will happen. I think that, you know, all mediums become appropriated by it's the best place. Let me rephrase this.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with, like, MTV or Bing Radio, you know, or, you know,
if you can see how to harness it, you'll take advantage of it.
I'm sure at some point there's, you know, like, we had fans send our CD first, I think, to Chris from Gorillaz, Bear, and Mark from Music for Robots. I'm not sure who got the EP first, but we didn't send them out.
Yeah.
And that sort of got this whole thing started and was great, and then we started to learn about blogs and, you know, read them ourselves and create all this great new music. And eventually develop relationships with various bloggers and play shows with them. But I'm certain, you know, I mean, at this point, you know, we know how the music industry works. Yeah. I'm sure there's a bunch of, you know, PR goons you know, attacking bloggers and trying to get this a cool blog, get their super crappy band, or not crappy band, possibly,
yeah.
you know, on it, on a show, get credit, because, like, I think a lot of what blogs have is credibility, because they're not bought and sold, you know, generally speaking, it's this is the opinion of one person, and if a lot of people read this one person, then he or she probably has something valuable to say.
Yeah.
And I think that credibility is so hard to get right now in music and in anything for that matter, that people will do anything they can to get it. And I hopefully that the blogs will evolve around that, but yeah. who knows, yeah. you know?
Well,
I
mean, it's also a two-way street, you know, if you put all your eggs in any basket, you know, you could fuck it
yeah.
up.
I mean,
there's blogs are definitely tastemakers, so, you know, some blogs more than other blogs are out to sort of, you know, bust the buzz or, you know, dispel the myths of certain bands, you know, so it's just as easy for us to get, you know, slammed on Pitchfork than it is for them to love us or, you know, or something like that. So I think, while I think the blogs are a great thing, I think at the same time, you know, as a band, it's your responsibility, you know, to sort of try to not let that be your focus and,
yeah.
you know, get music out there and use that tool and support the blogs that support you and that sort of thing,
yeah.
you know, I mean, frankly, you know, like, you know, Chris asked us to do a show, we're going to do it.
Cause, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's a great guy, and, you know, we love his blog, and, you know, if he doesn't like the second album, I don't know.
Break his knees, probably break his knees.
Break his knees, yeah.
yeah.